And on this Saturday morning, the first Saturday of June, Tim Mines alongside David Jenkins. And a week from today, we will be at the Chili Dome. Hey. Irish Days in Farmersville.
Hey. Mic on. Hey.
I'll turn your mic on when I'm ready. Morning, David.
Am I not worthy?
You are now.
Good. Good.
We had to run you through HR to make sure you qualified.
Okay. Good.
You passed all the tests.
Yay. I think we'll have Cherry back next week,
too. We will. Yeah. At the Chili Dome. He never misses the Chili Dome.
Yeah.
It's always kind of the unofficial kick to summer.
Yep. That's right. This will be my first experience there.
We've never experienced
never
the Chili
experienced.
Dome before. Ooh. Yeah. You're in for a treat, buddy.
Looking forward to it.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
You can stick around after the show and get the aromas of the chilies.
Mm. I'm not a huge chili guy, but I'll eat it. Maybe my mind will be changed here.
I love chili. Not necessarily in the middle of June, but that's
right.
Part of the appeal and the beauty of the chili cook-off.
Yeah.
So we'll be at the Chili Dome. That'll be a lot of fun coming up next week, 9:05 from Irish Days in Farmersville. And next week will mark the official end to the IHSA state series.
Yeah.
As they will have the big boy and girls state tournament with 3 and 4A baseball and softball wrapping up next weekend. And of course, the state baseball and softball tournaments for 1A and 2A are going on this weekend. And Calhoun's softball team will play for the state championship in 1A, and Williamsville's 2A baseball team will play for the state championship. So a couple of varied teams. And the interesting thing about Williamsville and Calhoun is Williamsville, of course, played for the football championship earlier this year. Calhoun, they played for the basketball championship earlier this year.
How about that? Especially for Williamsville, you know, they always, you know, they always had a hard time getting over that hump into the championship game for football and baseball. Baseball specifically, it was Pleasant Plains had always found a way to get them. This year, they were able to get Pleasant Plains, and now they're in the state championship. Football, they just couldn't get to that that state championship game. They finally got to it this year, just a field goal away from winning it.
A heartbreaking field goal.
Yeah.
We don't need to talk about that today. Yeah. But Williamsville beat T-Town yesterday in the semis 4-1, and their opponent in the title game tonight will be Rockford Christian, as Rockford Christian defeated Peru St. Bede 2-1. That was a 9-inning semifinal yesterday. So the 2A state championship is at 5:30 tonight at Dozier Park in Peoria, Williamsville, and Rockford Christian. In the 1A state championship game today, it'll be played this morning at 11:30. Oakville going to take on Cobden, as Oakville defeated Ocaw Valley yesterday out of Bethany 5-3. Cobden with a 6-2 win over Fulton. So Oakville and Cobden for the 1A championship. And, of course, Oakville back to 500 now, David. They are 17-17. Of course, they got past Morrisonville in the sectional final on Monday at Blackburn College.
Must have had a tough schedule.
Had to have.
Yeah.
They're an impressive club. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they had all the tools. But when you enter the postseason and you add it up and go, you know, if we win state, we can finish a game above 500. It sounds silly to say, but I'll be darned if Oakville doesn't have a chance to do just that.
Isn't that a lot like what Nokomis basketball goes through sometimes? You know, they're just battling to be a 500 club, and they end up 500 around postseason time. It's not to this extreme where they have to win a championship in order to be 500, but you know, they're around 500 until the postseason comes around.
Absolutely, yeah. You never pay too much attention to Nokomis' basketball record.
Right.
Absolutely. And for Oakville, well, we always talked about, really, baseball in general, softball in general, maybe high school baseball more so than softball, I should say. The record is so deceiving.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Who's pitching? You know, how did your games line up with weather and just so many different variables that can go into a high school baseball season, and who did you play?
Yeah.
You know, what pitchers did you face? Forget who you're throwing. Who did you face? And
yeah,
obviously for Oakville, they got hot at the right time, playing their best baseball of the year. But, yeah, you can go from under 500 entering the postseason to state champs.
Well, and then to that with Morrisonville, I mean, credit their fantastic year. What, with a basketball regional, first regional championship for them in basketball since, I think, 1990, something like that. And then a baseball regional go along with that. So a great year for that group of seniors.
They don't want to talk about Oakville.
Yeah, they don't want to
beat them in basketball and in baseball in the sectional.
They've seen enough of them.
They've seen enough of them.
They could go the rest of their lives without seeing Oakville again.
What was the saying? It was during the Dodger Cardinal game, and I think it was about Randall Grichuk, and they said if Adrian Gonzalez went the rest of his life and never saw Randall Grichuk, it would be too soon, because I guess he was just robbing him of base hits left and right.
That was the series last weekend, I think.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
So Morrisonville, Oakville. Don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, that's all right.
But yes, for the Mohawks, a fabulous season. Came up just a little bit short in that sectional championship on Monday. And, you know, we talked about it throughout kind of the postseason. Does it make you feel better if you're a coach, if the team that beats you winds up winning state? Because last year, Gillespie was kind of in that boat. They lost to eventual state champion Pleasant Plains in the sectional. And I asked Jeremy Smith that question during the Gillespie Regional a couple weeks ago, and he said it didn't make him feel any better. Probably said it probably actually made him feel a little bit worse, knowing that you're that close. Like when you lose a close ball game, if you get blown out by the eventual state champ, maybe you feel better. But if you lose a close, tight game like Gillespie did last year, like Morrisonville did to Oakville earlier this week, I would imagine as a coach, that does just kind of grind at you thinking, boy, we played the eventual state champs that close. That could have been us. Right.
And whenever I was playing back in my freshman year of high school baseball, I wasn't on the varsity team, but I was obviously going over game, and that was a good group of players for that Litchfield squad. That was 2006. It would have been that was the year they played Columbia in the sectional championship. Great ball game.
I was there.
Yeah, went extra innings, and Columbia won it on a wild pitch with the bases loaded. Fantastic game. You know, it was heartbreaking to watch, but Columbia ended up in the state championship, and you know. For me, obviously, I wasn't playing, but for me, it was kind of they lost to a team that was in the state championship. That's pretty good.
And it's definitely one of those deals. The more time that passes, it sounds better when you get 10 years. You know, the year after, it's like, ugh. But 10 years later, it's like, yeah, we lost the eventual state champs.
Yeah.
Hey, well, no shame in that.
I don't know that they won state that year. They were in the – I think they were in the championship. So.
Oh, well, then still. You should be totally ashamed
I should be
then.
Ashamed,
totally. You didn't lose. You lost to the first loser, David.
Either way.
We kid. So the 1A baseball championship, Oakville and Cobden at 11:30. The 2A baseball championship, Williamsville and Rockford Christian at 5:30. And then some 3A sectional championship games around the area today. Highland takes on Mount Vernon at 11, that game in Salem. And then at Lincoln Land in Springfield, Champaign Centennial will battle Quincy Notre Dame. That'll be at 10 o'clock, first pitch this morning from Lincoln Land. On the softball side of things, the state tournament at the Eastside Center in Peoria. We mentioned Calhoun with their win yesterday over Wayne City 1-0. So they will play Seminoc at 12:30 for the championship game today in Peoria. And then the 2A state softball championship game has Nashville taking on Brimfield Co-op. That'll be a 5:30 first pitch tonight. Brimfield defeated Kankakee McNamara 4-0. And then Nashville blanked St. Joe Ogden 4-0. You talk about powerhouses. The Hornets of Nashville would fall into that category. Extremely powerful.
In every sport.
Just pick one.
Yeah. Oh, they're in the state championship? Color me surprised.
Yes. Some towns.
Yeah.
Just kind of have that aura or whatever about them. Nashville would definitely be one of those towns. They've always had strong boys basketball teams over the years. You mentioned their girls program strong across the board. And if you see Nashville pop up on the schedule, no matter what sport you're playing, you know you're in for a heck of a ball.
I don't know. They're playing who?
They beat
St. Joe Ogden. St. Joe Ogden could be another one of those. I mean, they really, with all their sports, they're one of those where year after year, you know, great program.
If you really pay attention to, like, the postseason, like getting like into the deep stages, you know, like the sectional finals, supers, and into state just for a number of years in a row, you will notice a theme a lot of times where there are just certain towns, certain programs that are just always there. We talked about Totopolis. They're known as a basketball town, and rightfully so, but their baseball team is amazing. They've won a couple of state titles here in the last 5 years. I think they've been to 6 straight super sectionals, a number of state tournaments in a row, and they're playing for the state title, or they lost yesterday to Williamsville. But just the domination that they've shown across the board is just amazing. Williamsville falls into that.
Yeah, game. And we've got it around here too, with, you know, like the Greenvilles and the Carlinvilles of the world, and the Southwesterns, really, for that matter, where they've got their fantastic programs. Not to take away from the other schools, they've got theirs too, but others have, you know, just no matter the sport.
When you can do it in multiple sports year to year, that's where you can really start to separate yourself. So it's not just baseball and softball state championships being decided this weekend. The 2A and 3A girls soccer championships will be handed out today in Naperville at North Central College. And Chatham Glenwood, they will play for the 2A title as they defeated Peoria Notre Dame yesterday 4-1. And Mundelein Carmel defeated Lamont in the other semi 2-1. So the 2A girls soccer state championship game today is Chatham Glenwood taking on Mundelein Carmel at 1 o'clock this afternoon. That game at North Central College in Naperville. And then the 3A state semifinals yesterday, it was Naperville, Nakua Valley. I think that's, I have no idea how you pronounce the name of that school. I never have known.
Well, it doesn't really matter for us.
It doesn't really matter. They're out of Naperville. They won 3-1 over Collinsville. And then New Trier out of Winnetka, they defeated Barrington 1-0. So Collinsville will play for third place today against Barrington at 5 o'clock.
They're what, 3A? So that, which means they're probably 4A in all other sports. So we will, at least for the near future, we will never have to deal with them.
Oh, the Naperville school?
Yeah.
Yes, thankfully.
Yes.
So just, I'm sure the folks at the IHSA are ready for summer. They have, I mean, think about the year and how busy they are. Mm-hmm. It never really stops in the summer because they got a, you know, different administrative things and logistics they got to work out. But
probably in football mode right now.
I would sure think so. But I mean, you think about what they do from the start of the school year all the way through now. It'll be the middle of June before the big schools are done with the state tournament.
Do they really get a break though? I don't. I would think they wouldn't.
No. They get a break from, I guess, organizing competitions. Yeah. But yeah, there's definitely stuff going on in the summer. Somebody's doing something.
Yeah. And, I mean, like we said, I guess officially after next weekend, they will be in football mode because all of the sports will be done and they'll be planning. Well, not just football. They'll be in fall sports mode. Well,
I saw the football Friday. Someone posted that up
here.
That
was me.
What, 12 weeks away?
12 weeks away. 12 weeks of yesterday. So now we're in the 11th.
How about that? It almost sounds wrong to even say something like that since, you know, the previous year's not even technically over yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, high school football coaches around the state, that's how they're thinking.
They're going to be starting practice soon. So we may as well get ready, too.
Why not?
It's going to be here soon.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday and big sporting weekend. You got the Stanley Cup Finals going on.
Yep.
You got the NBA Finals going on. And
yep.
The Belmont Stakes is this weekend. It's actually today.
Yeah. Who's going to win?
I really couldn't tell you.
American Pharoah or the field?
Probably the field. I'll take the field.
Me too.
It's a long race, a mile and a half track.
I'll root for American Pharoah because I would like to see a Triple Crown in my lifetime. But I'm a realist. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
It could happen.
It could happen, but it's not going to happen. I mean, with any just like with any other sport, there's specialized training. It's a long race. It's not going to happen.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. And I'm going to be honest. After yesterday, we were giving away some rodeo tickets for the state finals coming up in the middle of June over in Altamont at the Effingham County Fairgrounds.
Yeah.
And they got mutton busting. I was never familiar with what this was. I found out yesterday. It's kids 5 to 7. Riding sheep. They're dressed up like the cowboys, and they just get on that sheep. They wrap their legs around its belly and just grab onto its wool around its neck for dear life and see how long they can go.
That's worth the price.
I think I would rather watch that than the Belmont Stakes.
Oh, yeah.
Highly entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How can you go wrong, David?
Exactly.
I had never heard of this. Apparently, it's quite popular.
Because that could last, you know, quite a while if you get enough kids. I mean, the Belmont Stakes is only going to last, what, 2 minutes?
Something like that.
Something like that. 2 or 3 minutes.
Those horse races are over in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, I tell you what though, those you know sponsors and media outlets are incredibly happy that American Pharoah has a chance to win the Triple Crown because now they've got their 5 hours worth of pre-show coverage that people may watch.
Well, the worst thing obviously that can happen to horse racing is if two different horses win the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. They don't really care if someone wins. They actually, I bet you, people in the horse racing community hope that it never happens. I bet they would just prefer every year for there to be a horse at the Belmont with a chance to win, and then lose because
it's more intriguing.
If it happens this year, no one's going to care about horse racing. No. Few people care about it now. Even fewer will care if a horse actually wins the Triple Crown.
Once it happens,
and then it'll happen like 3 out of 4 years, and then it'll be really watered down.
Yeah. And then there'll be some scandal that comes out. Oh, this horse was doped up and everything.
The thing that I really don't pay attention to horse racing at all, except, I like the Kentucky Derby just because it's neat, the event that surrounds it. You know, it's cool, Churchill Downs. But it always seems that these horses, like the top horses in the field, are always trained by the same guy, that Bob Baffert.
Same guy, same jockey.
Yeah, he just seems to always have, multiple horses. It's like two or three Baffert horses are competing for the title every year, and it just always seems so odd to me. Like, is that not a conflict of interest?
Same jockey, too.
Well, it can't be the same jockey. One jockey can't ride three horses in the same race.
Okay.
That would be a steal.
You're right.
I would watch. If you got a jockey jumping from horse to horse during the race, now that's entertainment.
I say that, and I mean, like, every year it's like the same jockey who's got a chance at winning the Triple Crown, it seems like.
He's got, I see what you're saying, he's got his fleet of jockeys, and he puts his top guy on what he perceives to be his
top
horse.
Right.
That's fine. I don't care about that. That's fine to me.
Yeah.
But don't you find, I just find it strange, or it's impressive for him, he's that good of a horse trainer, that one guy could have, like, three horses in a field of 10. And he's not the owner, but he's the trainer.
Well, yeah, either that or there are just so few trainers.
I guess there's so few trainers. But do you think that he obviously trains all these horses the same to win? But you just wonder, like, if you're the owner of the horse that's won the Triple Crown, aren't you thinking, telling them, you know, hey, maybe we should focus a little more on American Pharoah here. You know, maybe we should focus on him. Forget about those other schlubs. They're nothing, you know. Train them a little less, or train them to take a dive.
Maybe there's a little, you know, money involved, you know, sliding underneath the table.
It's not FIFA.
Well,
it could be.
Could be. Someday. Could be. Right now, it's not. You know, that's a good question. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe maybe he is, well.
He's basically.
If he is developing, or if he is devoting more time to one horse, he's not doing a very good job because.
But how many hours? You only have so many hours in a day.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea. Does he train each horse every day? Does he train one horse like on a Tuesday, the other horse on a Wednesday? I have no idea. But for one guy to have that many horses in such a big money, you know, a Triple Crown race consistently, it's just amazing.
Well, the last few times there's been a potential Triple Crown winner, I wonder, has the horse that beat his horse, if he was the one who was training the potential Triple Crown winner, was the horse that ended up beating him?
Was it his horse?
Yeah, was it his horse? Because that's, you know, that's something I need to know.
Yeah, because you go from, like, cheering to, like, cursing to cheering to cursing.
Yeah.
Good day, I guess. You're good either
way. For him, you know, and everybody's booing because the Triple Crown didn't win. Oh, I won either way.
That's true.
This is my horse. What are you guys upset about? He's a good horse. He won. Oh, well.
So the Belmonts today, we'll see if it happens.
Yeah.
David thinks he's on record as no.
I am on record as no.
I got no from what you said earlier.
Yes, no, it is not going to happen. And then it's going to happen, and I'm going to look a fool.
What did happen that probably a lot of people didn't think would happen is the men's national soccer team going into Amsterdam.
How about that?
And beating the Dutch 4-3 in an international friendly. How
That's
about that,
kind
huh?
of kind of taken a back seat in a lot of sports stories right now that shouldn't take a back seat.
Shocking.
That's a huge deal.
Jurgen Klinsmann. He's doing it
He's
with
doing
that
it,
national
yeah.
team. I mean, you
Plus,
can't
he
argue
was
with the result.
Without some of his top guys, Clint Dempsey didn't play. He was one of them. There was another one. I don't remember who it was. I don't think Jozy Altidore played because I think he's still banged up from hamstring injury. So they had some of their top guys because they weren't taking on this trip at all. And he still went into Amsterdam and beat the Netherlands. That's fantastic.
Danny Williams scored or tied it in the 88th minute. Bobby Wood got the game winner in the 90th minute. Never heard of either one of those guys. But I don't claim to follow the national team closely if it's not a World Cup year.
Just a handful of guys that I know, and those two are not on my radar.
Like, I just know the national team in the last World Cup.
Tim Howard became a hero.
They didn't embarrass themselves like the national team seemingly does most World Cups. They've had
good showings the last two World Cups.
They have, and they just look like they're on the right track. You know, like, good things are happening. Wheels are in motion.
Yeah. They just have.
We'll see if Klinsmann sticks around. Well, I guess he's under contract through the next World Cup, I believe.
I think
is
so.
How that,
something
how
like
that's
that.
Worked out.
They've either never won a round of 16 game, or it's been a really long time since they've won a round of 16 game.
I can't remember if they won the round
they won
of 16.
It 94 or whatever year it was.
I was thinking
Alexi Lalas's team.
Nah, it would have been. I thought it was the World Cup after that, maybe where they did, or it could have been that. I can't remember.
Then maybe the year, the round after the round of eight, I guess it would be. Maybe they've never made it past that. But
they
it's
definitely haven't made it past that.
Yeah, but it's been a really long time since they've won the round of 16.
Really long time. They've been close.
Yeah.
The last couple of World Cups.
Well, they took who they played, Belgium last year to extra time, and Tim Howard looked great. But obviously, Tim Howard can't score goals.
He can't?
No. Bum.
Bum. The Women's World Cup starts today in Canada, and apparently
they're different.
Quite the big controversy going on there is they're using a field turf and not natural grass
really?
For this World Cup. And I guess basically a lot of the top like men's players and officials with the men's game have said that a men's World Cup would never be played on anything other than natural grass.
That's interesting. I've never thought about that. That's in Canada?
That's in Canada.
Only in Canada.
At least they're not playing on ice.
Well.
They should be thankful.
They should play on ice. A lot more people would probably watch that.
I don't know if the World Cup's struggling to draw viewers. The Women's World Cup certainly probably not the draw that the Men's World Cup is, obviously.
Is it struggling in the U.S., though, to draw viewers? I still don't know that a whole lot of people watch it.
The Women's World Cup?
Yeah.
Well, probably not.
Yeah.
But a lot of people in America watch the Men's World Cup.
Yeah, I guess they do. They have parties.
People will watch the women's team play.
Well, they're on.
But,
they're,
you know,
they're
probably
kind
not
of the,
a lot of people watching like Canada and Sweden.
They're kind of the opposite of the men's team because they're actually a threat to win the World Cup every year or every time around.
They're kind of the favorite, right? They haven't won since '99, though.
Yeah, but they've been. I think
they've choked like dogs a few times.
Yeah, they have, but they've at least been in the championship.
It's amazing the stark differences between the men's and women's national soccer team. How, you know, like you basically expect.
Internationally, the men's team is really considered a joke.
Yeah, they are, like a lapdog.
Yeah.
Whereas the women's team, I mean, they're the best in the world.
Yeah. So.
But Klinsmann, though, he's bringing the respectability back.
No, that's.
He's bringing it back.
That's
they're getting
exactly
kind of that
right.
Euro style to them.
Well, they're using guys who share citizenships, too, I think, with I don't remember his name. You probably don't either. He played in the last World Cup. He's German and American, there are quite a few of those now, German and American dual citizenships on the team. I think they just grabbed another one, actually, within the last few months. So, it's working, whatever works.
Hey, if you want to win at the elite world level, you can't have a bunch of guys playing in the MLS.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't.
That's
right. You can't. The best players in the world play in Europe.
During the prime.
They just do.
Because they're getting a lot of the international stars at the end of their careers right now in the MLS.
You talked about Tim Howard.
Yeah.
He's not playing in the MLS.
Isn't he, though?
Well, I thought he was over in Europe for
a long
time.
Yeah, I think he's playing for Everton now, but I think he did spend time.
In his prime.
In his prime he's playing with Everton, but I think he did spend some time in the MLS earlier on. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. Landon Donovan was one of those who didn't get respect internationally because he played his entire career. In the MLS. He did spend some time on loan with Everton as well. But
that guy bothers me.
Donovan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, I think he's pretty agitated with the way he was treated with this last World Cup.
Thought that was funny.
Did you?
No, I thought it was hilarious.
It kind of was, yeah.
He deserved to be on the team.
Yeah.
For what? To be a figurehead? Just to be there? To do some interviews?
Yeah.
If you can't play, you can't play.
Yeah. There's a reason he didn't make the team.
But he can tear up the MLS, though.
Yeah. He can do that. That may be coming to St. Louis soon, possibly.
I can't believe St. Louis doesn't have an MLS team. It's such a huge soccer town.
They've had
great
six
history.
Soccer franchises, and they haven't been able to support them.
Like,
people don't realize they've not necessarily MLS, but there have been quite a few soccer franchises in St. Louis, and they haven't been able to support them.
I remember the Ambush, the indoor soccer. Mm-hmm. I think that was their name, the Ambush.
I don't know.
Maybe the Storm.
Could have been both.
But either way,
like I said, there's been quite a few.
Wildly popular. Like back in the 90s, there was all sorts of buzz about them. They were good, and then they were just gone one day.
Because they haven't got the financial support they needed to stay.
But you know the passion for soccer is there because whenever they have these big matches that come into town, whether it's at Busch Stadium or at the Dome, I mean, they're selling out. They're drawing some of like the largest crowds.
Well, they didn't do well at the Dome with the Ivory Coast and whoever it was they played. That one wasn't a great turnout. At Busch Stadium, they've had...
The Ivory Coast didn't draw well?
No.
I'm shocked.
Well, they got one of the top players in the nation in Didier Drogba.
In the nation?
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean.
He's one of the top players
Yeah, top players in the nation, yeah.
Top players in the
Ivory
Coast.
Top players in the Ivory Coast, yeah. He's the best player in the Ivory Coast. I'll go ahead and say that.
Feel safe saying that one?
I do. He's one of the top players in the world. Was one of the top players in the world at one time. But they didn't draw well at the Jones Dome. Not a lot of Ivory Coast guys around here, I guess.
Must not be. We will be at the Chili Dome next week for Sports Saturday. Irish Days in Farmersville, the unofficial kickoff to summer. We'll be there live next week here on WSMI Sports Saturday.
We've already spent more time on, you know, soccer than I ever thought we would. FIFA soccer, that is.
And Terry's not even here.
Yeah, right? Right?
They've kind of been in the news as of late.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
For the right reasons?
No.
No.
You know, they always say there's no such thing as bad press.
Well.
But boy, had the NFL and FIFA put that to the test over the last several months.
Yeah, exactly. We talked about it last week. The NFL wanted to be in the press every month of the year. They did it.
Mission accomplished. Somewhere P.T. Barnum's like, maybe I should rethink my philosophy.
Yeah.
Back in the day, there was probably something to that. But in the age of, you know, social the 24-hour news cycle, social media, sometimes you just need to go away.
Yeah.
Recede into the background.
Maybe it's okay if they don't talk about it.
Or if you're FIFA, just do your bribes better. It's like the New England Patriots. Just cheat better. You know, be smarter about
your cheating. This guy wasn't
trustworthy
at all.
It turns out,
we should not have hired him.
It's like they should have never given the World Cup to Qatar, obviously, because it just reeked of bribery. Like, you couldn't...
Really?
You
could, it's like the smallest nation in the world. Like,
there's no way that any normal-thinking person could make an argument to say, well, no, I'm sure they gave it to them on the up and up.
Qatar, isn't Qatar that nation that's dividing Iraq from one of the seas? Maybe that's Kuwait. I don't know.
Kuwait borders Iraq. Qatar's small.
It's small.
It's going to be like 120 degrees. But, like, there's no... Like, once they did that, I mean...
They may have to play on field turf in that,
They might have to. You couldn't turn a blind eye, though, if you were, like, an investigative body. Because that was just so obvious. Like, you're not even trying to hide your corruption at that point.
Yeah, you know, and to be honest, I didn't even think whenever... Like, I honestly didn't care whenever I heard, oh, Qatar's getting the World Cup. Okay, whatever. It's nice that they give some of the smaller nations the World Cup. Yeah, good for them. Didn't even think twice because I'm not a huge soccer fan. That's interesting. maybe if I followed soccer more, I'd be like, wait, what?
What? How's this happening?
Yeah. Of all nations? Nothing against Qatar. But really?
It'll be a nice December day there when they play that World Cup. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back with more in a moment. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday and joining us on the phone right now on location. WSMI's Terry Toth.
From assignment.
Yes. Morning, T.
Yes, on special assignment.
You're like Mike Shannon. You're on assignment.
But I'm not at a horse race. So.
It's weird that his assignments always coincide with big horse races.
Isn't that amazing how that works, you know? It's pretty fantastic.
Will he be on assignment tonight then, I guess?
Oh, yeah.
Most likely. So.
Right. He does not go to L.A., does not go to New York.
Yeah.
He only goes to Chicago probably because they make it.
Can't say that. I blame him.
Chicago is still in the same time zone.
That's true. Yeah, Chicago, Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. Not same time zone, but close enough.
Right.
Oh, I tell you what, these West Coast games, though, they kill you, don't they?
Well, especially with the Cardinals playing all-night games there with ESPN picking up tomorrow night, so that's just kind of odd.
Oh, man, those are killers. So.
Sunday night won't be as bad, though, because it's still a regular start time since
ESPN.
Well,
that's true.
Central time.
Except nobody will be able to see because of the blinding sun.
For the first few innings, right field. And, you know, no matter the ball field, pro, college, high school, right field is just the sun field, no matter how you slice it.
For a lot of ballparks, it is. There are very few exceptions, but it seems like the right side of the ballpark just really just gets bleached out with the glaring sun. So they're all kind of set up in similar ways, I guess. So,
Terry, we started the show talking about the state baseball tournament going on this weekend up in Peoria, and Okaville, the team that ended Morrisonville's season on Monday, they're playing for the state championship today. And if they win, they can finish the season over 500. Just an amazing postseason run. But you've seen so much high school baseball over the years, and you know better than most, the record in high school baseball really doesn't matter.
Records, number one, are very deceptive, especially in the era in which we play now with the four-class system, because I think there are a lot of teams that are smaller teams that play in conferences that have bigger schools that are in a different class. So records are not very indicative of what they've been able to accomplish. I think we see a lot of this in boys and girls soccer as well, where you load up your schedule and you take your lumps. And when you play in the smaller level, like in the Class 1A level, you may not have a stellar record, but you're still going to be prepared for that deep postseason run. So at records, you know, and it's a cliche. We hear about it. You've heard it, Tim. You've heard it, Dave. Mm-hmm. Everybody starts the season 0-0 once the postseason starts. Yep. So it really doesn't make any difference what the records are.
And when you see a team that's under 500 like that going in to the postseason, it really drives home that point that, yeah, they were nothing and nothing. They're playing some fantastic baseball right now. There's no question about it. You see them play. They've got all the tools. You know, they've got the pitching. They've got the defense. They've got the hitting. And Terry, it was amazing. They even got that game in on Monday at Blackburn. They got like 2 to 3 inches of water over the weekend and somehow got that field ready for play.
Well, Mike Neal, he's been through this before, the Blackburn baseball coach and interim athletic director. This guy's been there, done that, and he's got it down to a science. He's got that tarp, and he puts that thing on there, and, man, they whip that tarp off. They get the squeegees out there, and they get their crew out there, and, you know, basically in about an hour, they're ready to play ball again. So once the rain stops, Blackburn does a great job of getting those ball games in. And and when you take a look at records, we also forget that there are sometimes kids that are injured in the previous sports seasons that don't get to come back until maybe late in the season. So you all of a sudden get healthy. We've seen the Cardinals do that a few years ago when they went to the World Series. You know, they were just kind of mediocre. They got healthy late in the season, got on a run, and ended up winning the World Series. So it happens at the high school level as well.
We've seen Williamsville over the years be close so many times. They got over that hump, that semifinal hump in football, got to the title game this year. Now here they are playing for the baseball state championship as well. Just an amazing run of success they've had at Williamsville, boys and girls.
Boy, when you look at Williamsville, and you know, Williamsville's really not that big, mm-hmm. but boy, do they have a tradition of successful athletic programs. And, you know, it takes a commitment from not only the kids, but the parents and the coaches to keep all these younger kids involved and keep the enthusiasm up. So it's quite an accomplishment, and good luck to the Bullets. You know, they've really put together. They're one of the teams that you look to in the Sangamo Conference to say, ah, these are the guys you got to beat if you're going to be successful.
And, you know, I don't think it's any coincidence. You start looking at the smaller schools that are just outside of Springfield, Williamsville, Rochester, Pleasant Plains, even throw Auburn in there.
Riverton in there, yeah.
Riverton, absolutely. It's no accident that there's a talent pool around the Springfield area that is really filtered into all these great small schools.
Sure. It's well, you know, you've got smaller communities around Springfield where perhaps parents work in Springfield. They don't want to live in Springfield, so they live in one of the smaller communities, and they're able to give their kids opportunities to compete. And, you know, a credit to these school programs to you know, put the time and the money and investment. And not only do they, you know, get the kids involved, but they also have upgraded their facilities over the years as well to make sure that they have good places to play.
And that would be the constant between all those programs. The facilities are second to
none.
Maybe only second to each other.
They do such a great job, and they take such pride in keeping their programs going. And, you know, that's the Sangamo Conference, which a lot of these teams are in, it's a black and blue conference, man. I tell you, you get into that conference, and you're talking about some terrific competition, and they don't back down from anybody. They'll play bigger schools, and they'll beat up on each other, and sometimes you may not have the stellar records, but if you come through the Sangamo Conference, you're going to do okay.
And you see, no matter the sport, that the teams coming out of the Sangamo, they are ready for the postseason.
Yeah, and you go all the way back to football. We see that every year in football. You know, and as the season progresses along, football, volleyball, soccer as well in the fall for boys, the basketball programs in the winter, and of course, spring sports, they really excel at as well.
The girls state soccer tournament is going on this weekend in Naperville. Chatham Glenwood going to play for the state championship against Mundelein Carmel. That'll be at 1:00 this afternoon as Glenwood will go for the 2A state title in Collinsville. They lost in the 3A semifinals yesterday, so they will play Barrington today at 5:00 for third place. And Terry, just one more weekend for the IHSA and their state series here as they will wrap it up next weekend with the big boys and girls softball and baseball tournaments.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that we're already to that point in the season. But then again, next week, as you mentioned earlier, Tim, you were promoting, we'll be at the Chili Dome. So that kind of tells us, okay, you know, this is the end of the line for the high school sports season as far as interscholastic competition is concerned, and it's on to the summertime. And even though the high school sports seasons are done, the IHSA still has a lot of work to do in the off season to prepare for the upcoming season. So, and we're looking forward to Football Friday again and getting everything cranked back up come late August. But you know, it's time to take a break and relax a little bit. And a lot of our athletes are actively involved in various camps right now and traveling teams. So in order to continue to compete at a higher level, they're out there and they're competing.
And Terry, one of the things we've noticed a lot the last couple of weeks, that it may not affect this next upcoming sports season, but it'll come into effect a lot quicker than we think, is a lot of the co-ops that are happening around the area. I think, what was it, Edinburgh and South Fork just announced that they were going to be co-oping, or just a lot of co-ops happening around the sports world in the area?
Well, you know, the school funding situation is not good. It hasn't been good for years. It doesn't seem to be any magical solution on the horizon. School districts, small school districts, don't want to close down, so they're finding ways to help each other out. Cooperative athletic programs is certainly one step in the right direction to do that. There are also schools that are co-oping various classes, so they're doing what they can to keep the doors open, so to speak. And that obviously changes, that obviously skews the class system as far as the number of schools that are participating, and comes to scheduling problems when, for example, the Waverly Holiday Tournament, when Girard and Verdon went together to form North Mac, well, they lost a team there.
Yeah.
You've got Lincolnwood and Morrisonville co-oping now, so if the Morrisonville kids play the Lincolnwood schedule, they lose another team. So,
Carlinville Holiday Tournament as well.
You know, I don't know what the case is there, to be honest with you. I'm just speculating. But you've got constant change, and I don't think we've seen – I think we're just seeing the beginning of it, because I think there are going to be massive changes here in the near term in order to just keep these schools going and keep them alive, because – I just don't see that the state's ever going to have the money that, mm-hmm. Is due.
Sir, I've heard some, people talk about you're better off to consolidate a co-op on your own terms, even though you might not like it now, because the longer you hold out, in a few years, the state might just come in and make you do it, and you might wind up in a situation with somebody that you don't like at all that you could have avoided.
Well, and when you take a look at the big picture, if you could take a step back and take a look at the big picture, states all around us have gone into a consolidation mode. They've tried to consolidate schools into county schools or maybe a couple of county schools. And that's not necessarily the situation, at least as spoken of by the General Assembly and the people in Illinois. But if you want to read between the lines, it sure looks like they're forcing schools to make those decisions on down the line. And whether you want to get together and do it on your terms or wait for the state to do it on their terms, that's up to the people involved in the various districts. But I think probably the best solution would be, hey, let's get together and talk about this so that we can, come to some consensus. And, of course, it's a compromise, and in a compromise, nobody's ever completely happy. But in a compromise situation, you at least give kids an opportunity to get the education they need and participate in interscholastic activities, which makes them better citizens. And we're not talking just sports. We're talking about things like music, things like drama, things like the FFA, all sorts of other things. It has to go beyond sports. Sports cannot be the only thing that drives it. It's the thing that gets the most attention, but it cannot be the only driving factor when they're talking about getting together with school districts.
Yeah, you're exactly. I mean, look at the decline in the art programs around the area just because of the classes. And that not just like painting and stuff, just like art, music, everything like that.
You're talking about the drama club, you're talking about choir, you're talking about music, you're talking about kids who, I can talk on a personal level. One of my kids had to make a choice between the math class or band. Of course, mm-hmm. well, she, Bridget chose band, mm-hmm. or chose math over band, but she loved band. So, you know, that's just a life in a small school. So, you know, if things can come together and you can get a school that's big enough that can offer a number of different things to kids, it just makes them better citizens. And that's really what it's all about. It's about making good citizens. And, yes, sports are part of it, but it's just part of it. It's not the entire game plan.
Making good citizens that maybe someday could become the head of FIFA.
Well,
and make quality decisions.
I assume you've already talked about FIFA. I'm sorry I got in late on the conversation, but yeah, that's quite a mess with FIFA. And I will only say this one time here, but with my vast experience as commissioner of the National Stickball League for 5 years in my backyard, you know, I could have brought some insight to this situation. So,
my point with FIFA was this, Terry. Once they gave the World Cup to Qatar, that was such an obvious bribe and scandalous situation that nobody could present a case as to how that wasn't corrupt. They went too far.
Well, they said, okay, they told the world it's going to Qatar, and everybody's going, all right, this is wrong.
Sure it is.
Okay.
April so Fools, where's the hidden
face? We know you had a hot dog and you had mustard, and you've got mustard all over your face. So you've been caught, all right? You can't deny it. We're going to go ahead with the investigation. FIFA doesn't need to do this kind of stuff because it's the most popular sport in the world. Mm-hmm. And FIFA, still there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know, FIFA has such resources around the world. And really, think about confining themselves to certain venues. You know, certainly Europe would be a great venue. Most areas in North America, and maybe a couple of areas in South America. You know, so many other places around the world are so dangerous right now. You hate to. The thought about sending your athletes out and putting them at risk.
Well, I think the U.S. and, you know, the U.K. have both kind of thrown their hats in the ring to possibly replace Qatar if they take the World Cup away.
Well, and you also have to think about venues.
Yeah.
You know, who's got the venues? Who's got the infrastructure to handle this sort of thing? And certainly, you know, in Rio, the last World Cup for the men, it was a mess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was an absolute mess. And they never did get it straightened out. So.
Well, they've got the Olympics coming up, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, apparently there's been, like, close to 2,000 people who've died building the stadiums in Qatar.
Yeah. Do you really need to build new stadiums? We've got stadiums out the wazoo in the United States of America and in Canada. Do you really need to build new stadiums? I'm telling you, we've got the venues here, folks. You just come on over and we'll hold the World Cup.
Speaking of Canada, they're hosting the Women's World Cup, which starts today, and I guess they're using artificial turf, which apparently is quite the big deal in the soccer community. I did not realize, Terry, that it was such a big deal to play on natural grass. You see in so many other sports where the artificial surfaces have come in just for, you know, a maintenance purpose. It's just easier to take care of. You can play multiple games. But apparently they've said that the Men's World Cup would never be held on anything other than natural grass.
Unless it's in Qatar.
Well, I think that time will probably change their minds because we are talking about maintenance. You are talking about keeping the fields in pristine shape. I mean, let's face it, the goal areas get run down and marred up. And I think some of the new field turf is probably pretty good stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and maybe the Women's World Cup will experiment with it and see how it goes. And if everything goes well and there aren't any unusual injuries or, drawbacks from the use from playing on an artificial surface, maybe they'll allow that in the future. Yeah, the Men's World Cup just absolutely is anal about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was like blasphemous speak.
On artificial turf, so.
To even suggest the notion was just lunacy to them.
Yeah. Well, it's the 21st century. Times are changing.
I guess the only way it changes is if the artificial turf manufacturer comes in with a good bribe.
Well, yeah.
Then they'll get it.
Well, you know, that's something I guess FIFA knows a little bit about. So
it's amazing, though. You look at the NFL, basically the FIFA of America. These two big organizations that have run unchecked for so long have both not been able to get out of their own way here.
Oh, they've had a terrible year as far as PR is concerned, and you know, they're going to survive because it's big enough and more and popular enough. And you know, Major League Baseball went through this with the steroid thing. Let's face it, you know, it looked awful, it looked bleak, but baseball cleaned itself up. The National Football League has an opportunity to do something very, you know, very good for itself and clean things up. Also, and try to make it as safe as possible, although I think there are going to be limitations to that. I think the game itself is just what it is, you know, and that's probably the reason it's so darn popular. And soccer on its own will clean things up. Once the competition starts, people aren't going to be talking about the bribes.
No, that's exactly, because it didn't really affect anything.
No,
on field.
It really
administrative.
Doesn't. It really doesn't.
Administrative.
You know, and speaking of the Women's World Cup, you know, Team USA is the team to beat, so to speak, and that puts some additional pressure on them, and I think especially playing on the North American continent.
It's basically considered a home tournament for them.
Sure, absolutely. But, you know, the Women's World Cup, the Women's Team USA is loaded for bear. I mean, they have some absolutely terrific people. They have a great mix of veterans and some younger players who are just dynamite. So
they better dust off Mia Hamm, though.
And Brandi Chastain.
Yeah, yes.
I think Mia's the ultimate soccer mom nowadays, and probably won't be involved in it. She'll be watching, but probably won't be involved in it. But, you know, Team USA, I think, still has a terrible taste in their mouth after losing to Japan in the last World Cup, and they want a little redemption.
They're kind of the anti-men's team, where they're kind of, you know, favorites every year.
Well, yeah, but you know, the men's team, Jurgen Klinsmann has come in and really changed things around for Team USA. They've gotten away from playing the style that seems to be a little antiquated. They're playing more of a European-style soccer. And you know, it's the team's going to come around. It's going to come around. So,
hey, they beat the Dutch.
And well, the thing of it is, you know, Major League Soccer is certainly helping. It's certainly getting, you know, has grown in 20 years.